How do you want to do the opening?
I've
got an idea for the second part if you want to do the
I'll do the first part, then I'll do the second part for Baywatch Pirates.
That sounds fine.
All right, so I'm going to say, hey, welcome to Even More Mashed Up.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
And then I will do something that may or may not work.
Anybody want to place a bet? Hey, welcome back to Even More Mashed Up, a show coming to you from Misericordia University, where we take pop culture and we make it meaningful. I'm Alan.
And I am Patrick. And you're probably wondering what we're talking about today.
Wonder Bread?
Close.
Wow.
I wonder, wonder what we're talking about.
Really? That was what it was?
That was the opening.
Is it Wonder Woman?
It's Wonder Woman.
Okay, I didn't want us to get so distracted we never got to
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being kind of good, 10 being awesome, where did that opening fall compared to my
3?
Yeah.
Somewhere in Hades.
I'm wondering what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Please don't continue this.
Have you met me?
I wonder what you thought of the movie.
I wonder what we both thought of the movie.
This is the one podcast I don't want to be a part of.
I wonder if this podcast was starred.
Hey, it's nice to have Dan back sort of from the start behind
Dan's
the board.
Dan's with us today. Richard is back as always.
Yep.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, hey. Richard.
I always wonder why Richard is here at all.
I wonder where he got that haircut, but that's a conversation for now.
Yeah, that works really well on a non-visual show.
That's a good visual for the folks.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I just say for those who can't see it? Probably better off.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to describe it as you did before.
You should probably stop wondering about it.
Yeah.
If you are.
Oh, my God. This is not going to end.
All right, should we talk about the film?
We probably should. And you know what I got?
Wait. I think I might know numbers.
I've got numbers.
Woo. Yeah, we love the numbers.
Yeah, that's what everyone loves. Numbers in a podcast.
Any particular numbers you'd like me to start with?
I don't know.
Zero.
Wait, here's a number. Yeah. We're not even 2 minutes into the show, and we're actually talking about the content.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty good for us.
We were until you brought that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, now we're sort of on a meta level talking about the content
of the
show.
And we're still under 2 minutes for another 3 seconds.
That's right.
So
we're very efficient that way.
Victory for us.
That's
good.
We take this thing seriously during the summer season.
Okay.
No,
seriously?
Please don't. No. Please don't.
No, it is. It
you
is
just
a,
said we won't.
We are in the season of summer, but not a podcast season, so we are in agreement.
No, it's the summer season of the podcast.
I will say when I listen to the podcast driving to colleges in New England, we find the argument about seasons much funnier than the listening audience finds our argument about seasons.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Hey. That's true about most everything we do on the show.
Can't argue that point.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, so give me some numbers.
All right. So.
Number one.
Yes. It opened with $100.5 million.
That seems good.
Making it the third movie this year to do so.
Uh-huh.
Can you name the other two?
Beauty and the Beast.
Bingo.
Logan.
No.
Not Logan.
Fast and Furious.
No.
What was the other one The Rock was in?
No.
The superhero film.
You're closer.
It was a superhero film.
Was Vin Diesel in it?
Yes.
Guardians.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast. And I thought you would get that.
I was completely blanking, too. I was like, so, I know this.
No, I should have gotten that one, but yeah. Beauty and the Beast was on my mind.
So Wonder Woman is sort of third for the year. It's the highest debuting movie directed by a woman ever.
That is a step forward, maybe.
Yep. It's also expected to make around $50 million in its second week, which is a really low drop.
That's about a 50% drop.
Yeah, and most of the superhero movies are like 55, 60s. Yeah,
I know my numbers because I've been listening.
And I got to say, I went to the 410 showing yesterday afternoon at Cinemark.
410 Blaze It.
Packed.
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 Yesterday.
Yesterday the theater was full.
It was not packed when I went to see it.
Yeah.
But it was decently full.
Yeah, no, yesterday it was completely full.
So are you going to start talking about legs again? Because you spent a lot of time talking about legs for Guardians.
It potentially does have legs. Yes. Now.
Insider jargon.
Can you guess where Wonder Woman falls?
Nope, I can't.
In terms of box office for World War I movies?
Yes. Oh, that's easy.
Wait.
Of all the World War I movies ever made, Wonder Woman currently sits fifth.
Incorrect.
Second?
Incorrect.
It's not number one.
It is number one.
Wait, did it do – so it did better than Captain America?
They don't count that as – that's a World War II movie. World War
I. Right.
Yeah, it's the thing that nobody does World War I that much.
I guess.
It's not it's easy to confuse World War I and II.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because history is an undifferentiated block of time.
Damn!
I did it intentionally.
Oh, so good.
It's been
or
if
no?
If you bring me back to the podcast,
to be fair,
how do you define World War One films? Like All Quiet on the Western
films
Front,
about
films that are set in World War One. I don't really understand. Like
even
well,
I got
no,
that.
Like,
the historian shouldn't ask that question.
Well, no, but like they could be.
So you know why a historian asked that question?
They just have to be set in World War One.
So that yes.
How much did All Quiet on the Western Front make?
I don't know because it wasn't number two or number three, and those are the only ones I looked at. Keep in mind that it's a low bar because prior to Wonder Woman,
yeah.
The number two movie, in terms of...
this is inflation adjusted, right?
I'm not sure.
Well, then what is...
No.
Number two is 2011's War Horse, which opened with 7.5 million.
7.5 million?
And number three is Lawrence of Arabia, which made 44 over its entire run. So there is a very
Lawrence
low...
Lawrence of Arabia made $44 million
over its entire
19...
run. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, inflation, I feel like, yeah. pushed them.
Something, yeah. We had 40, so...
Yeah, so... How much is 44? Rich, do some research. $44 million dollars in 1950 is equal to how many dollars today?
Yeah.
You said
so,
rich in research in the same sentence.
I'm the only one who knows how to Google.
We've got to give him something to do.
That's right. So I'm suspicious that if you adjust that.
Yeah.
Because Lawrence of Arabia, wasn't that a
Yeah, it was
a
humongous
big
film.
Right?
It was.
And I would argue with inflation, that 75 million over time with inflation.
44.
No, but 75 was the second one, right?
No, 7.5.
7. Oh.
Was its opening.
Yeah.
That was the opening.
War
Horse. Oh, opening.
Yeah,
opening.
Lawrence of Arabia, they don't have stats for the opening.
Gotcha. Okay.
The War Horse, let's admit, is never going to be Wonder Woman.
No.
Yeah,
never.
But apparently
Even
that was
go see
apparently
War
prior
Horse.
To Wonder Woman, the biggest World War One opening was War Horse with 7.5 million.
You know why I can't look at because I hate all films starring animals.
I know.
Hate animals. The only thing worse than animals in films?
Children actors?
Kids.
Yeah. Blah. We might get to that with Wonder Woman.
Blah.
We will, because I've got...
I was excited for a minute when Wonder Tot showed up.
She's so adorable.
If only
right?
Mr. Genie had showed up, you know, and they had gone on those wonderful
Come on,
50s
little,
romps.
Little Wonder Woman. She's so cute when she's
amazing.
Running.
Come on. When they retired Wonder Tot, it was an improvement for the Wonder Woman comic book.
It was, but she's so adorable.
We're not even talking about the Wonder Woman comic book today.
I've got more numbers.
Right? Oh, good. Rich, do you have the math
Hang
done
on.
Yet?
Yes.
Just about.
He's working on it.
So,
there's a calculator.
Where do you think it falls
currently
for action heroine movies?
Rich, what do you got?
99
million. 99
million.
So it's still
so
less.
Still wins.
Still less. Yeah.
Still wins. All right. So Wonder Woman wins.
Yep.
All right.
So where does it stand for what?
Action heroine movies.
So again, these just are after movies one about heroine
action,
the drug.
Action
right.
movies
so,
with heroines.
So, so Scarface probably did better.
No.
Requiem for a Dream had to have done better.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Less than zero probably did not do
less than
well.
Zero. I think is an inaction heroine movie.
Crank is another good one.
Yeah,
that
is an action heroine movie.
Yeah, huh?
Crank two.
So, do we get any of those right?
No, because you're kind of in a totally different. I will tell you the top six. Or sorry, the top
so
six.
So this is an action film starring a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
The top six is owned by two franchises.
Charlie's Angels.
No.
Marvel?
No.
Marvel needs to actually make
Wait,
it.
Yeah, Marvel would need to make
women.
An action heroine movie.
True. Wait, two franchises with women?
Two franchises.
But it's got, so the woman is
Laura
the lead,
Croft
right?
Tomb Raider.
Nope.
Oh, wait, Mad Max has got to be in that.
Nope.
So it couldn't be something
franchise
like.
Franchise means there's more than
oh,
one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It couldn't
the
be like
full
the
franchise.
Fast and the Furious, right?
Nope.
Because that's not really a
Though
story
Gal Gadot
woman.
Was in one of those.
I will tell you. One franchise occupies both number one and number two, and then the other one has three, four, five, and six.
Three, four, five, and six?
Bond?
Nope.
No. That's not
Bond.
A hand.
Bond.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Bond is such.
Yes. I had a rich moment.
So,
yeah. I
remember
moment.
That female James
it's
Bond.
A franchise.
Wait, actually, I can't wait for
starring
that.
Starring a woman.
Oh, Star Wars?
Star Wars, Force Awakens, and Rogue One are number one and number two. So, yeah, Star Wars.
And then what would be one?
Oh, but there's the new Star Wars.
The new Star Wars. Yeah.
The old Star Wars would
not
certainly
be
female
centered.
No, we're just talking just Force Awakens. Action. Yeah, Force Awakens is number one. Rogue One
really
is number two.
Science fiction films, so I discount those.
Now
both.
the franchise that has the next four is also science fiction. If that helps.
Harry Potter.
No.
Lord of the Rings.
You're in the right vicinity.
Magic?
Oh
no.
Fantasy adventure.
Twilight?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Twilight would have been awesome.
Movie franchises based on young adult novels was
Narnia?
Sort of the
Oh God, genre. It's not like Divergent or something.
No,
like that,
but you're even it? Closer with that.
Oh, it's
the
Hunger Games.
It's the Hunger Games. Yes, it's the four Hunger Games.
See, yeah.
So what you're saying is Wonder Woman could win anything because this is all horrible.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of good
yeah.
high grossing films starring women.
Well, no.
So Hollywood
welcome
is
to what everyone knows.
Wait a minute, let me get on the teletype and get that to the West Coast. Let me get this straight. An industry that has like 3% females behind the camera is sexist? I refuse to believe this.
What was that? I missed that.
An industry that has only like 3% of women behind the camera is sexist?
Is that high?
Yeah, it is, sadly.
You mean it's at low.
No, that was the irony, Rich. That was the irony.
Nope. We had a $100 million opening movie by a female director. Problem solved.
Yeah, we're good here. We're good. We can move on.
Kind of like with Logan, right? Logan has totally revamped how superhero movies are going to be made, and yes. Wonder Woman is going to empower women to make films.
Next thing you know, we're going to have a vegan running things, and we're good to go.
Don't
the world will be saved.
Yeah. Hey! I got more numbers.
Oh, I was trying to get him away from
numbers. I appreciate
you can never
that.
Get him away
it's
from numbers.
It's number six all time
yes.
for June openings.
Where do you think this find is just, this nonsense?
Oh, Box Office Mojo. Yeah. They've got it broken down.
So you probably should cite them because you come on
I
the
just
show
did.
And you steal their stuff all the time.
I mention sure Box Office Mojo site. All the time.
No, you don't.
It's sure the first time I've ever heard of Box
I'm pretty sure I've mentioned.
If you had, I wouldn't have said the question, where do you get this nonsense from?
Well, on the other hand, you don't pay attention.
You got to figure Box Office Mojo has seen a huge uptick in their traffic just because you're going to it every week at this point.
Yeah. So you're tired of these numbers is what you're telling me.
Like 3 weeks
ago. No, give me more numbers.
Because I've got different numbers.
Oh, God.
Good.
Why did you say that?
And these come from Rotten Tomatoes.
I hate myself.
So one of the things I find interesting.
Oh, boy. Interesting numbers?
In terms of Wonder Woman compared to the other DCEU movies.
I'm upset I hit record.
Yes.
Is that it's running 93% with all critics.
Yes.
And 93% with audiences.
Wow. Critics and audiences agree.
Which is very different from the rest of the DCEU where there's been a massive split. Man
Audience
of Steel,
loves it. Critics hate it.
Yeah, Man of Steel, 55 versus 75.
Really?
Batman versus Superman, 27 versus 63. Suicide Squad, 25 versus 62.
27 was generous.
But here's the thing. But I would argue with those, like, there was nothing else. Like, the DCEU, there was nothing else. Like, we either like this or hate it.
Yeah.
But that's all we had to go off.
That's all, So
then Wonder Woman came out and was like, oh, wait, this is actually good.
Actually good, yeah. So, I mean, but again, it also kind of shows, you know, more evidence of Wonder Woman sort of getting, hopefully, the DCEU on the right track.
I hope so. I've got a couple of complaints.
I do, too.
But, like, we'll
it's not perfect, complaints. But it again.
Is an imperfect film.
Perhaps it is time to move to our thoughts on the film. Would you like to share yours?
Sure. Would you like to share yours?
Segway. I've been talking numbers for a while. I feel like I should give the floor to you.
I'd like to start by talking about Steve Trevor.
Okay.
Who I hate. Like, yep. Steve Trevor is the worst comic book character ever
created. You're talking about Steve Trevor generally.
Yes.
Okay.
In all cases.
All.
I
so
hate Steve
across
Trevor.
The multiverse.
I have never met a Steve Trevor
so
that I like.
If you
and
were,
I'm a guy that likes people.
So if you were the Anti-Monitor, you would be trying to wipe Steve Trevor
He would be the first.
It would be a crisis of infinite Trevors.
That's right. If you could get rid of Steve Trevor.
That was a deep cut, by the way.
Yeah. Erase Steve Trevor from the DC. It would be way better.
Okay.
He's always been an anchor on Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Like, he's always been sort of the patriarchy reasserting itself on a character that it should not. Now, as you know, maybe you didn't hear me talking about this on the radio show, the Chris Pine as Steve Trevor stuff in the trailers, I hated.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what they showed in the trailer.
Stupid, and it was like, I was made out of clay. And he's like, that's neat.
Oh, okay.
So now Bobby says that to me. Like, whenever I say something, he's like, that's neat. It's like, the Steve Trevor thing, just to piss me off.
So Bobby has made you Steve Trevor.
No, he speaks as Steve Trevor to me.
Oh, okay.
He's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Bobby's making Wonder Woman.
Oh.
I'd be Wonder Woman. She's pretty boss. Anyway.
Yeah.
I thought she is.
I thought most of, well, Bobby, well, me, well, it's hard to say. I thought the best part of Steve Trevor in the film was the worst parts of him were in the trailer.
Mm.
It wasn't like a never-ending barrage of the irritating Steve Trevor.
I'll give you that.
And then, of course, what kind of sold the film to me more than anything?
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah, just put a spoiler warning.
They killed Steve Trevor.
They did.
It was.
I was so happy when
I'd rather him not go out in such a heroic way just a sniper's bullet somewhere midway through the film. He's gone alone in the field.
Not even a sniper's bullet. It just ricochets off her shield in the middle of the battle, and he dies from friendly fire or something.
Like he's in the trench and he just hits his head on a beam or something.
Nobody notices. Yeah.
He's dead.
I just want him to die of trench foot. He's just like, oh, he's gone.
Couldn't he have gotten like trench foot or something? a slow, painful, agonizing trench foot death.
That's lingering. I don't want him to linger.
He wants him gone.
So it would have been better had Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
Died sooner.
Okay.
He just drowned in the beginning.
That they killed him, and assuming that they're not going to bring him back in some kind of weird way.
I think they're going to do what they did with Peggy Carter, which she'll be flashback to.
Right. But my fear, of course, of casting Chris Pine as Steve Trevor is that that's a guy you keep in.
I don't know. I think
the franchise. And so if it's only flashbacks, I can live with it. Killing off Steve Trevor was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, Best choice.
Yeah. I liked the moment when he sacrificed himself. I thought that.
It made him a little too heroic for me.
I liked that. But yeah, he was fine. You know, I was kind of expecting him to kind of be fairly blah.
Yeah.
And I thought Pine did a decent job of at least giving him some
characteristics.
But yeah.
In Chris Pine's defense,
he wasn't a detriment to the film like you were expecting.
He was playing Steve Trevor.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what are you going to do with that role?
Is there a better actor to play Steve Trevor?
I don't know who that character is, but I'll go back to Wonder Woman.
Steve?
I don't know. Like I'd like it to be somebody.
Someone blander than Chris Pine?
It would have to be super bland.
Yeah.
Would his name have to be Chris?
No, not necessarily.
Chris Evans? No, he's better.
Chris Hemsworth?
What if it was like Mr. Bean, but without any of the comedy? Like you drain all the comedy out of Mr. Bean. And it's just
but
Mr.
would Mr. Bean also
so
be
just Rowan Atkinson?
But would he be a British spy? Never
no, he still had to be Steve Trevor. He would be Rowan Atkinson playing like a very bland American.
That is a daring casting choice. It would
make daring is a very
look,
nice.
If I were making this
daring
film,
choice of words,
yeah,
Steve Trevor would have died.
Yeah.
Maybe before he got there. Yeah. But, I don't know who you cast for it. The point is,
I mean, Chris Pine is a pretty Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I mean, he and Chris Pine are basically
yeah, but Ben
the same
Affleck
person,
is way more boring.
He True. Is, but he's already Batman, so you can't cast him.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because he's Batman.
For now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. The way things are going, he might
how
not
about
be.
Wilford Brimley?
Oh. Oh, my God. I'm just imagining the entire movie now with him.
I know, my oatmeal.
I'm just imagining like the beginning scene where he's in the plane and it's Wilford Brimley instead of him.
I'm just imagining the pool scene with Wilford Brimley now. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
What's wrong with your foot? Oh, I've got diabetes.
The boat scene where like he makes a bed like with Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The one thing I will say about this version of Steve Trevor is that I think he did a good job of teaching Wonder Woman about outside culture. Like that's all he was as a vehicle.
To
move quickly through. You don't understand what the outside world is
though
like.
I've seen some complaints about that role as well.
And it's not great, but he did a good job of moving this through it quickly.
Yeah,
so that wasn't the entire origin story.
Yeah, there were a couple moments of like you know showing Wonder Woman to the world that I did not care for. Baby, I'm like oh no, not the like that. I was like no, do we have to do the baby?
But it's also, 1940?
I know, but
it's
World
War
I. Sorry.
World War I.
It's going to be World War II.
1918.
So I had one other complaint.
World War I ended in 1918.
It's the Roaring Twenties.
Well, I guess that's true. The treaty signed in 1918.
No, it's not the Roaring Twenties, because those are the 20s. My God.
Okay, so
how am I the one defending history?
Can I have only one more complaint about the film real quickly? Some of the CGI stuff in the battle at the end put me off a little bit. There's
really?
A moment where she's battling Ares at the end.
Correct.
Right? And they're on that airport runway, and she's kind of walking with the wind blowing in her hair, and there's fiery wreckage behind her. I swear to God, if you put a Survivor song on and you put it on MTV in the 1980s, it is a 1980s video. Like it is stepping literally right out of the 1980s.
You think so?
Oh, my God. You would love that as a 1980s video.
Well, I love
you got the cheesy
video.
Hair blowing.
That's a low
bar. You got the fan going. You got the fire in the background. It just didn't look – there were just moments where I thought it looked a little cheap.
Yeah. That's been – I've seen a couple complaints online kind of about the CGI battle
during
at the end.
The trench fight scene, like when she's jumping, it looked really awkward to me. Like it looked very much like – like literally, you know, in post, someone just made a move up. Like, it didn't look very realistic.
Well,
in
but I think a lot of that is also it was the way it was shot. Like, it was too crystal clear, is what a lot of people have said online as well. Like, it was too crisp of a film as far as those battle scenes and what you could see. Like, it wasn't as muddied as you wanted from film.
See, right. I liked that. Yeah, the CGI part where she jumps is really the only issue.
The problem with a lot of DC films at this point has been they're so murky,
right?
Yeah. That you don't get a sense of it, and so maybe Wonder Woman's trying to kind of course correct in that way.
Yeah.
But maybe it overcorrected. A little bit. I'm surprised you didn't see that. Like, there was a moment where I'm like, this is a 1982 Survivor video.
Mm. Well, you don't like Survivor. I do. So that's probably why. You mean it.
Oh, I thought you would love it.
You mean
but
it
I
as
would,
a disparagement by calling it a Survivor video.
I do mean to disparage it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm now imagining this whole movie now soundtracked by Survivor's Vital Signs, which is an awesome album.
Said
nobody
no
ever.
I just said it.
Yeah, but usually when somebody says it for the first time, somebody said nobody ever.
Overall, your thoughts on the movie?
I really like the movie.
Yeah.
They handled Steve Trevor pretty well. I thought the fight scenes, and Vicky really loved the fight scenes too. Like the choreography of it, I thought was really kind of beautiful in a way. Like, it was very elegant and well done. I liked that the film asked kind of hard questions about war.
Yes. Well, I think one of the reasons for – one of the things I put notes is that I think there are a number of things that played into the success of the movie.
Yeah.
One of them is, I think, the fact that it's a war movie, which, again, is a very popular genre.
Right.
And again, it struck me kind of afterwards, particularly the second time I saw it, is that it tries to do a little – maybe not as much, but I think somewhat of what Rogue One tried to do – in giving sort of a murkier depiction of war, particularly in terms of murking up the good guys.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you knew the British guy was a bad guy as soon as he showed up on the screen. Like, you knew that he was not a good guy. But I thought the film, especially for like a DC film and a superhero film and, quite frankly, a war film, like, ask some hard questions about war. I think Ares talks about how we sell war by talking about how it elevates us.
Right.
But, of course, it doesn't really, right? Like, digging into trenches and lobbing mustard gas.
Gas. Mustard grass?
Mustard grass.
Wasn't as effective the first time.
Streve Tepper.
Well, that's how a vegan would conduct war. Just throw mustard grass.
That's why they always lost.
Anyway, here's the point, though.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Not vegan, but Quaker. This film was more Quaker than Guardians. You'll remember, trashed the Quaker faith. The inner light corrupting ego.
Yeah,
we had this
conversation. Yeah, I know.
But this was a film that really kind of asked hard questions. Now, at the end, like, this love is the answer.
That was a little...
it's a little trite and kind of falls a little flat. But, like, what's Wonder Woman, the film franchise, really going to teach us?
Yeah.
If it did what I think it did, which was kind of like... examine human motivation and talk about the complexity. Like you said, murkiness.
Well, they didn't.
What I talked about was like human complexity.
Yeah.
Like, war is complicated and ugly.
Right. Well, and again, ultimately, like, the sort of naive idea that Diana goes into it with, oh, I'll get rid of Ares and war will stop.
Right.
That, you know, the idea of the film is like, no, that people are, you know, people are still flawed and corrupt and even the good guys are flawed.
Right, so that when we go to fight wars, we should remember
that it's not that simple as there's the one bad guy and, oh, war goes away.
It's not good and evil.
Yeah,
right?
and even like there's the scene with – and again, another thing – the movie reminded me a lot of the first Captain America film. And it tried to do some of the same things with race that I think Captain America did with that one scene.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the one scene – was that Captain Themyscira? Yeah, the first. Yeah, it very much is like Captain America. It very much follows the model of Captain America: First Avenger.
Yep.
But that scene, like when Chief talks about, you know, his people and that they were wiped out, and Wonder Woman asks who did it, and he points to Steve and says his people, or Sammy when he talks about how he wanted to be an actor but was the wrong color. There were just these little glimpses of. Again, kind of had the same effect of some of the things they did in Rogue One. That's like, yeah, the good guys are not all squeaky clean.
Well,
either, and you can see that playing into some of Trevor as well. That he's obviously had to do some pretty terrible things as well.
Let me spin it in a different direction, because one of the things I thought Captain America: The First Avenger did really well,
right,
was kind of interrogate and take apart the idea of the all-American platoon, right?
Yes.
During World War II, we created all this propaganda that said we're all Americans mm-hmm. together, like we're all equal, okay?
Right.
So the armed forces are segregated, right. but every film has a couple of African-American soldiers right. joining a platoon to do great things. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of Bataan in films like this, particularly in the Pacific, where they create situations that never really existed to build this idea that America is sort of egalitarian in mm-hmm. ways that it simply was not.
And is
right?
not.
Right, and still isn't. But when we continue to celebrate that all-American platoon, we celebrate an inclusivity that we don't have, right? right? And I think Captain America tried to kind of get us to question that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Had the Japanese-American character.
Right. Well, that's
know, where are you from? I'm from Fresno.
Or no,
right?
He says, are we taking everyone with us? And the Japanese guy says, I'm from Fresno.
Right, right. But again, kind of reminding yeah. us of the falsity of that all-American platoon. They kind of do that here as well.
Right.
But there's no real interrogation of it.
No, there's not.
Like,
yeah,
there
no,
is in Captain America. Right?
Yeah.
This is the World War II all-American platoon.
Mm-hmm.
Transported back to World War One,
yeah.
right? Because now it turns out Americans were egalitarian yeah. not only 60, 70 years ago, but, you know, 100
yeah.
years
no,
ago.
I agree that it tried to do some of what first Captain America did, not as much or as well, but it glanced at it in a way.
Well, it did what Captain America did by building an all-American platoon.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do what Captain America did by questioning it beyond the kind of chief. And, like, we have to call him chief, of course, right?
Because yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every yeah, Native well, American yeah, in every all-American platoon
is called chief.
What?
Chief.
Chief,
yeah.
I guess. It's just what he's called. And
yeah.
so
I wish that was the low point for chief.
Right. So even when even when chief questions Steve Trevor's yeah. racial privilege, right, and the racial violence in the American mm-hmm. past, he's still going to go send smoke signals.
Yeah.
Right? He's still going to go by chief. And yeah. so – to me, there's that one comment maybe mm-hmm. where Chief kind of says this
right.
is not all that it seems.
Yeah.
But everywhere else it seemed to be. And it just
yeah.
it felt to me like Captain America did a more serious job of trying to kind of ask
questions. I totally agree. And I think, you know, Wonder Woman sort of tries to glance in that direction, but it's because of Chief largely, it's so much more muddled.
It's
like they had such a great yeah. moment because the moment the smoke signal showed up, I was like, "Oh, like, they could have done the best thing, which is that, you know, you have one of the other characters say, oh, are you going to use smoke signals? And she was yeah. like, no, I'm going to use this flare gun. Or something
right.
like that would have
right.
challenged
I
the stereotype.
I thought that's what he was going to do, like that. Or just
and I'm
kind of
surprised because Hineberg, the writer, is actually a pretty savvy guy when right. it comes to race. He's written for Shonda Rhimes. He created yeah. Young Avengers, the comic. So a little bit of a letdown there,
have
I got to say.
Have the Scottish guy do the smoke signals.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
anyone,
you come over the hill
like
and
anyone,
it's not
but
Chief who's doing it.
Any number of ways that they could have played
kind of
with that.
Twist that would have said, hey, like, we're really thoughtful about this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's not enough just to have it in the dialogue. Right.
right.
When Chief says that about Steve Trevor, it's this moment of kind of preachiness, which I think never really works in terms of promoting multiculturalism. Right.
Yeah,
people
right.
don't want to be kind of preached at or lectured to.
Yeah.
But when it's kind of organic to the characters and their yeah. interactions with each other, then it works.
Yeah.
And they did the preach, but they didn't get the action quite
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Well, I thought the Sammy bit worked better as not being preachy, where he just said he was the wrong – he wanted to be an actor and he was the wrong
yeah.
color. Like there was
right.
there were little glances of it. But yeah, Chief
right. –
probably the most problematic part of right. the film for me is Chief.
I see that their heart was in the right
yeah.
place. And they're really asking a different set of questions, right? This is a film about war.
Right.
Not about race. But if you're going to bring race into it,
yeah.
I think you need to spend a little more time thinking about it. That would be my biggest
well,
particularly
complaint
about a film that I really, really liked.
If they're trying to, you know, if I'm giving Hineberg and the creators credit, maybe they're trying to give Chief sort of a kind of complexity by showing aspects of him that go against stereotypes and aspects that do, but it doesn't really work.
But what goes against the stereotype?
I think in some of the ways that for me, it's his
yeah.
his costume is not entirely a stereotypical Native American.
But it kind of it,
way. I mean, there's elements
it
of it.
It did kind of harken.
There's
back,
elements,
yeah.
there, but
yeah.
the other thing I tried to remind
it
myself
felt
is like
the Wild West. Like when I look at Chief,
it
that's
does.
What
but
I
part,
see.
But one of the other things you got to remember is because I thought about that too, and I'm like, well, you know. my first reaction to Chief was like, well, there's another Native American that basically says, you know, they're stuck in the 19th century.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but it is set in 1918, which is not that far from the 19th century.
Yeah, but so the film was made in 2017.
But it was made in 2017.
Yeah.
Like,
So I
think there are ways that they tried to go against stereotype. And I think, too, because, I mean, again, some of the Chicano authors that I deal with write about this in terms of Chicano stereotypes, that there are Chicanos and Chicanas who fit into stereotypes.
That's absolutely
And to completely
true.
Dismiss their existence is problematic.
Right.
So I think maybe Heinberg was trying to do something like that with the smoke signals, but he might have chosen the worst aspect to go with.
I hear what you're saying, but to me, Chief was also kind of laconic.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Right?
Oh, he was.
Which, again, kind of plays to that stereotype of Native Americans as communicators. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're right.
Yeah.
To create a character that's, like, Native American but not stereotypical in any way, like, is not authentic either.
Right.
I give them some leeway. Like, it's really hard to do this right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when you're not doing a film about it, but you're doing 5 minutes.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. Is he's, like, they're trying to give him to something so that he's not just a flat character. But,
I'm not sure Chief ever quite got beyond flat.
No, I mean, I can see ways that they wanted to, but whatever they did to do that, other things they did kind of drew back from it.
Didn't quite work.
Yeah. So,
but couldn't you say that about the entire squad, though? I mean, the Irish guy was the drunk who
– Scottish.
Scottish, still, but drunk. Like, that person was drunk, and then when he's finally feeling better is sitting and singing Scottish songs on the piano.
Yeah. Well – right.
Most people seem to have focused on him as a representation of PTSD more than Scottishness. So I think that's why his character's been more roundly praised for PTSD. I haven't seen much talking about him yet. I'm sure it'll come.
But he could
we're still in the honeymoon point of where Wonder Woman is great. Next week we'll get to the here's all the things that suck about
because we live in America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll happen.
Don't worry. I've seen some already.
Yeah, I've seen some already, too.
But can it be both?
Yeah.
That he's a good treatment of PTSD – but that he remains kind of a World War II, by which I mean like 1940s era all-American platoon character.
Gotcha.
Defined by their ethnicity,
right?
Like just like in the World War II platoons, you didn't have to have any character development because you knew them by their type.
Right.
Yeah. Right? You knew who they were based on their last name and the color of their skin. And there's a little bit of that in Wonder Woman.
But I think that's a good critique of it is that it can be good and bad. Like it's a great film.
Right.
Yes, it did meet some low points and it did a few things that weren't spot on. Overall, let's applaud the film.
Overall.
Absolutely. I'm assuming Gal Gadot
will eventually come for DC.
Right?
I hope so.
And be on the show.
That'd be good.
Huh?
Well, I think the
Gal
other
Gadot
thing
will eventually come and be on the show, right?
Well, I mean,
why would she not?
She has to get rid of the fact that she did a Fast and Furious movie, so the only way to make up for that is being here.
Is to come here.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I think one of the, again, another thing that I think contributes to the movie's success is that I think with Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, we have kind of the first in the DC Expanded Universe, the first actor to really embrace their character in the same way that Downey Jr. did with Iron Man Chris Evans Reynolds with Deadpool was the other one I thought of.
Chris Pratt as well has kind of
– Yeah.
And Hemsworth.
But Wonder Woman's the first where I really feel like Gadot really – she loves this part.
Now, can I ask a quick question?
And she embodies it in a way that, say, Affleck's Batman does not, Cavill's Superman, which is not terrible, but he doesn't feel like – it doesn't feel to me like Cavill sees himself as Superman. I think Gadot, in a way, sees herself as Wonder Woman or sort of having a responsibility to that role.
Right.
I think maybe Momoa's Aquaman has the potential of that.
I would agree. I think he does have
I'm
that.
Not sure anyone like else in Justice League does. But
he seems like such a goofy character.
He does, but like, I feel like Momoa
loves this
potentially
character in a way that's not cheesy.
Yeah.
Right? Like she loves it in a way that it feels like it matters
to
her. Real quickly, I did some research on Gal Gadot because I wanted to make sure. Oh, Gal Gadot.
It's Gal.
Yeah, but it's Gadot.
No.
You say the T at the end.
You
looked it up on YouTube.
You don't.
When you say her name, go listen to herself say her name.
I have
Rich, look it up real quickly.
Just, you know, we can ask her that when she comes on the show.
How to say Gal Gadot.
I've heard is Gal Gadot.
Have you ever heard her say her own name?
No.
Because I usually go by how the person says her own name. But that's just me. I mean, you guys probably know better. Just going to say. I'm sure you got it. So.
I stopped myself from saying something that would get me in trouble.
That right. is a first.
So, I know. Yeah.
No, but I thought she was.
I mean,
she
again, she's so good in the role.
She's a terrific Wonder Woman.
And again, you saw glimpses of it in Batman versus Superman, where the little bit that she was there, she clearly was embracing the part. And given like all the concerns that, oh, she doesn't really fit the physical type of Wonder Woman or whatever, she embodies that role in a way that I don't think anyone in the no one in Suicide Squad for certainly, but no one in the DCU has really managed yet to do.
And she's embraced it.
I think that's really part of why the movie is successful.
Absolutely. I agree.
Is she's done that.
So, other thoughts? I liked Etta Candy more than I thought I would.
She was fine.
Because she's a terrible comic book character, too.
Oh, yeah, she is. I mean, she wasn't around a lot.
No. But she added, like, a little bit
again, of... they did a nice job, I would say, with the supporting characters generally, like, making them feel not entirely one-dimensional in a movie that is basically about Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
I have the pronunciation, if you like.
You mean the pronunciation?
Video. So... What?
What did he say wrong? I missed it. I
was pronunciation, which is not actually the word.
He pronounced.
Whatever. Dan, did you want me to play through the...
I don't know. Just tell us what it is.
He didn't actually listen. He's just got it on his phone.
It is Gal Gadot. The T is pronounced.
Okay. Get it?
I will...
Oh. So then you just murder the name. And
just wait for an apology somewhere. But I guess
you just keep waiting.
Guess that's not coming. No. Yeah. What did you think about Paradise Island? Like, we've only got so much time, so I've got a couple of questions I wanted to ask. Like, what do you think about Paradise Island as just a place?
I think the one thing, and this is probably not where you're going with this, but the one thing that struck me was
I'm not going anywhere with it.
The whole well,
just a question.
Again, the character of Hippolyta in the comics has always been kind of not the greatest of mothers to Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, the moment they mentioned the God Killer, I'm like, okay, well, obviously that's going to be Diana. Like that but
the
apparently
film didn't really disguise sort of where it was going.
But apparently, to perpetuate the lie to her child, they built this giant tower in which they house all of these weapons that are completely ordinary. Which seems like a long way to go to lie to your child. Like, why not just tell her or not tell her that there is this thing, the God Killer?
Well, but anyone else on the island may bring it up, and now you've sparked that curiosity.
I guess.
It's a distraction. Look over here. Look over here.
Yeah, here's my question. Like, again, did you need to build the whole tower? Couldn't you just have a small room?
But how many people know that Diana is the God Killer?
Oh, I think everyone knows.
See,
I think clearly Hippolyta
and her sister do, right?
I don't think anyone else.
But if nobody else does,
her sister Iope,
then you probably build the tower because the tower is like all of the nuclear bombs we've sunk in the ground.
Right.
I like to think of it as a
country, right? It's a way to reassure all of Amazonian society that things are going to be okay because we got a big shiny sword.
I like to think of it as a Themyscira infrastructure project.
Oh, Lord. But I would also argue the reason that I don't think everyone knows is that I don't think the battles that she's having where she's training, everyone was shocked when her force field basically came out.
Oh, yeah. No one knew that was happening.
So they shouldn't be shocked. If it happens,
it would have been sort of like, all right, whatever. Yeah. You're the God Killer.
I am going to pull a Patrick here, and I'm going to make up my own comic booky answer to that, and that is that the tower is not
built for
Diana.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's built for the society around
I don't make stuff up. My comic booky stuff is based deeply in continuity.
As mine is, too.
Yeah, no, yours is totally legit.
All right, thank you. I'm doing what Patrick does, then.
That's fine. You're being totally legit.
I wish we could have seen that.
Yeah. Can I do the too legit?
No, you can't.
Too legit to quit.
And it's too late.
Picture me a hammer pants.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked about the film was that DC actually considered the effects of violence, which made me kind of say, what is going on here? Like, because DC never considers except for on Bruce Wayne.
Well, to be fair, superhero movies in general, I'm not sure. But yeah, particularly DC with Man of Steel.
DC kind of well known for sort of the, you know, destroying entire cities.
I caught like the last half hour of Batman versus Superman again because it was on and there was nothing else to watch. When Bruce Wayne, you know, he's in the Batjet and he decides he has to get the spear to kill Doomsday.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've got to lead him back to the city. I'm like, no, you can just take your supersonic jet over there and get the spear and then fly back to the deserted place he's at. Yeah. That seems like much more logical.
Well,
yeah.
But I'd argue that one thing, though, is that I think DC's smart enough hopefully smart enough that they're doing the whole hindsight's 2020. Like, they can look at everything that Marvel's gotten wrong, like the idea that we just blow up everything and don't worry about the violence. And they're like, we got one shot to make Wonder Woman good. Let's take all of this.
But I think they've taken what I think is a complaint not just about DC, but about the superhero movies in general and counter-programmed Wonder Woman with it. Right. Because Wonder Woman is doing in a lot of ways, particularly for DC, that's what Superman should do. Right. Superman and Man of Steel should have kept people from getting hurt in the way Wonder Woman does. I think you're absolutely right there, that they are clearly course-correcting with Wonder Woman.
There's a really wonderful scene in Wonder Woman where the woman with the plastic face lobs the new...
Dr. Poison.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Lobs the new gas into town. And Diana does what Bruce or Cal would never do, in that she goes to the town.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a film that has violence all around it, but looks away from it, unlike other superhero films, like where we need to see skulls get smashed and people get sliced. Like, you know it's happening, but it's always glancing away. And even when she goes into the mustard-gassed town, you don't see a ton.
Right.
No.
You just see her face, right?
Yeah. Oh, you see
and
her
you see
devastation.
Her coming to grips with the cost of violence,
and you see that
in the world around us.
You see that too when she first moves on the bridge, and the soldiers are coming back from the war.
Right. Yeah.
And she's seen that, and she's seen the soldiers whip
the baby
horses,
and the kids.
There are these moments like where she considers it, and it got me thinking. Number one, I thought that was maybe my favorite part of the film. It was a superhero who actually pays attention to people who aren't superheroes, right? And it especially is really empathetic about their suffering,
right?
How much of this has to do with gender?
I think a lot.
Does it matter that DC is finally doing this with Wonder Woman and that they didn't do it? You're right. Superman should be doing the same.
Superman is the same.
Maybe
kind of
Batman, like I understand. Batman comes
from a darker
place.
Well, again, Superman and Wonder Woman have always generally contrasted Batman in that way.
Right. And so I just, to me, for as great as and empowering as Wonder Woman was, it kind of reminds us of the ways in which gender still really factors in here. Because Superman should have.
Well, but he
should have. But I blame – if we in terms of the issue of gender, I think what you've got is a difference between Zack Snyder's conception of Superman.
Sure.
Right.
Which does not see him as that protector.
For DC, that's the Superman we've got.
Right. Yeah.
Right? That's the Superman that
we're – Well, I'm hoping that they – again – looking at what they did with, and again, they've been savaged for that depiction of Superman. Yeah. I'm hoping,
rightfully so, right?
They're going to move closer. Yeah. You know, when he inevitably returns in Justice League, that we're going to get closer to the Superman.
Maybe the death of Superman will somehow like turn him into the Superman that we know and love. From
I think
the
you see
comic books?
In when he makes the decision to kill Doomsday, because he struggled with this in Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman has been kind of this underlying. I mean, you saw it in. The first in the Man of Steel, you have, you know, Pa Kent telling him, you know, well, maybe you shouldn't have saved that kid on the bus. And I'm like, no, that's not Superman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think you saw that as well in Batman versus Superman when his mom says, oh, be their superhero or not. You owe them nothing. When he decides to sacrifice himself, I think maybe my hope is that that's the moment where he decides he is of Earth and is going to move forward as that protector.
Well, if that's the case, will have a real step forward because, acknowledging the costs of violence and war, you know, that can't be just a gendered trait.
Right.
Well, but I would argue that Superman wouldn't ever acknowledge it because I think Superman as a character flies in and just inhales the mustard gas. Like
that's true. That's what he.
But I think the downfall to that is that he doesn't get to witness what happens from the violence, whereas Wonder Woman always gets to witness it and tries to fight against.
Counter argument, right? After he and Zod destroy Metropolis,
right?
Like Superman has a choice,
right?
One of the things would be to stay in Metropolis and help rebuild the place,
or just run away,
right? Or he can, like you're saying, inhale the mustard gas and then just go. So even Superman has a choice,
right?
To kind of think about the human consequences.
Exactly.
Well, but it's also kind of interesting.
He doesn't.
Because, I mean, the explanation that a lot of people have used to justify Superman's lack of protecting people in the first movie is that this is his first time being Superman.
This is her first time being
where I was going.
And that's, again, that
you know,
again,
Wonder Woman becomes,
nature
I mean, again,
is not
you could say the same
people.
Thing is they're both acting out of their naivete.
Right.
she's acting out in a way that seems consistent with how her character is and may have some gender issues
but see,
as well.
That
Superman
be
is
gendered,
not,
right? That right. Men, when they're acting without thinking, right? When yeah. they're just sort of being naturally themselves, are sort of acting on the world.
Right.
Women, when they're being naturally themselves, are kind of like observing and empathizing.
Yeah.
With.
I think
just,
part of what
I just think it's kind of where it is. It was intriguing to me. I love that Wonder Woman did it.
Right.
I think it throws into stark contrast or stark belief that male superheroes yeah. never do that.
Well, and I think part of what I think for me in Wonder Woman keeps it from being as problematic in terms of gender.
Yeah. I'm not saying
as
it's
it
problematic
been,
by itself, yeah, but go
is,
ahead.
But I think part of it is that you also have in Wonder Woman, you have Trevor deciding to sacrifice himself
yeah.
to protect people from the poison gas. And I think that you see him making kind of a similar decision
yeah,
as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but that's
Woman.
A very male kind of decision to make. There's always yeah. the guy that throws himself on the grenade,
yeah.
you know, and that's what I see him doing. Yeah. Like, I see that as very – and so when I raise gender, I'm not criticizing Wonder Woman, which
I think actually treats
gender really
right.
well.
Yeah.
But I think it
except for baby.
It demonstrates the way in which, yeah. you know, this stuff is still gendered in ways.
And that we need a woman on this podcast.
Yes, exactly. I had a couple other quick observations.
Okay.
And then I have one science or one comic book science question for you.
Oh, okay.
The fight scenes. Like Rich talked a moment ago about how at the one moment when Wonder Woman leaps, it looks like somebody's just taking a figure and moving it.
Like it literally looks like in post, you know, like she's not moving and they just take the image and like blow it.
Well, there's a lot of times.
Well, there were moments like that and moments at the end with the fighting and mm-hmm. often with the lasso. That felt very sort of video gamey to me.
Yeah.
Like in the old way, like, you know, the one-on-one, you know, 1v1 games mm-hmm. where you know, super friends versus like.
Well, I think
Capcom
part of it too is
Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that was kind of a, like, to me it was interesting in the way that it played
yeah.
out.
I love the fight scenes except for
the video
game
kind of
yeah.
structure.
Well, I think the issue with that, and I think this feeds into your point as well, because I think with the jumping is not only does she jumps and all of a sudden is moving so much faster than
like
anything
yeah,
else.
It doesn't
and then,
have the right kind
like,
of physics
like
she, to
most
it.
Of the movie, she's moving at a normal human pace, and then in a lot of those fight scenes, she's sped up super fast.
Yeah. yeah.
And so I think that kind of adds yeah, – like and really with the jumping, because she's not just jumping. She's jumping super fast.
Well, but she's jumping also in a straight line. Like, so. Essentially, just her jumps look like they don't have the right kind of weight
yeah.
based off the physics of the world.
But I would also argue she also doesn't know her strength. Like, she doesn't
yeah.
realize
oh, yeah. I don't care
she
that
can
fast.
Fly
yeah.
and she can leap. And so for me, like, all of those awkward jumps
yeah.
were less that she was jumping awkwardly, and it was more that – she's slowly realizing I can make this leap.
Yeah.
How much further can, like when she jumps from the tower and she yeah. falls and
right.
she puts her hand in, it's
oh, yeah.
all harkening back to
oh,
you're
yeah.
stronger than you
yeah.
think you are.
Right.
Well,
no,
I think that's
to
how
the
I
issue
read
too
it
of,
as well.
Of I think they're going for something between like Superman who flies and Hulk who jumps.
Yeah.
Her jump is sort of a jump fly. But it does sort of come off as a little.
So is she Jessica Jones?
But no, no.
She's
it's,
what?
Is she Jessica Jones?
In some ways, yeah, she is kind
very
of
much.
Jessica, she is kind of
but
Jessica
no, my,
Jones-y.
My complaint with the jumping
without
is
the alcohol.
Just the trench scene.
She does have
yeah.
sex.
It is
but
just
it's,
the trench
it's,
scene.
She's lacking the alcohol and cynicism.
The towel, everything else is
we should
fine.
Probably have one conversation.
Oh, sorry.
It seems like we're.
Well, that is about Jessica Jones. I'm not even on topic.
50. Yeah. So another observation.
Yes.
No scenes at the end of the film.
Yeah.
That's kind of like DC just like punching you in the face and saying, this is different. Like, we're not...
Well, except that they did have scenes at the end of Suicide Squad.
But not Wonder Woman.
No.
Like, Wonder Woman's different. Wonder Woman's not
Suicide Squad.
But I think
they also
Squad.
Had scenes at the end of Batman versus Superman.
This is not Batman versus
I
Superman.
Think
like,
Steel,
I think
Man
my
of Steel... But Man of Steel also
this,
did not have right, scenes.
I think this is one Wonder Woman saying, no, like, we're really
yeah.
upending.
I think we were saying, yeah, this is the change. This
the
is that
genre.
Signal
there
change
should
of...
Be. There should be a Justice League.
Right.
Thing, oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm kind of surprised there wasn't a Justice League trailer with the movie. Like,
no, and I'm praising DC for doing this.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
right.
They're making a decision that, like,
we're not
a nerd culture,
see,
right?
See, I would have liked an Easter egg scene at the
end. Of course you would have, right? Yeah. That's why,
cause
that's
I,
why
like
I like
it. But you're just used to it. But also I think it's just a director who did this one. Like, who's – Justice is still Zack Snyder, right? Justice League?
Yes. Yeah,
so I think that's my concern is that you go to Justice League, you go back to Zack, it's right back to the issues.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. So here's my comic book question,
because
we're running out of time.
Yes.
At what rate does Diana age?
Very, very slowly.
Very
slowly.
Not
because,
at all.
Well, that's not true, because we see Wonder Tot.
Yes.
She was once a baby, and then she became a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and then she became a woman.
Yes.
All on Paradise Island.
Yes.
But between 1918...
Over, I'm sure, centuries.
Right. Over, between
yes. Eons.
Centuries?
Yeah. Yes, or, very or much so.
It's got to be.
No, because she we see centuries. Her over the course of a century. Between 1918 and 2017,
right. Yep.
She has not aged.
But don't forget.
At all.
As a child, right. She's the son of Zeus, the daughter of Zeus, right?
I understand that.
Now, so, I understand that more infused with Zeus's right. power.
What I'm saying is... I understand that she ages slowly.
Right.
But we're not talking centuries.
Yeah, we are. The beginning of the film.
No, so. Centuries is not enough.
Oh, I see what you're
okay.
saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Centuries
millennia.
Are millennia.
Like, we're talking millennia, right? Right? So the Amazons would have had to have been here long before people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they come after people in the story that Zeus told. That we Zeus yeah. creates
but this
people
is my point.
And There's, then creates the Amazon.
How did she grow up? She couldn't have grown up that quickly. If she ages a day for every 100 years, that's 10 days. A century. That's 100 days, a millennia.
What happens to clay after, Alan? When you have clay,
yeah.
Oh God.
What happens to
stop.
It after a while?
Just stop.
I don't know what happens to clay after a while.
It starts out, you know, kind of moist and changeable, but then eventually it hardens into
what... So you
say
she's hardened into her
I'm
final
saying
form.
It's
so you're saying,
it's
saying that if she got cut, she wouldn't have any organs inside of her.
No. It's just that...
As she leaves the mascara, she sort of... goes into a kiln and is hardened.
Exactly. Yeah. Once she becomes yes.
My only point was, I get that she ages really slowly, but at the rate she's currently aging, she's been around for like hundreds of millennia.
Right.
Yeah.
To get to her age.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem possible within the...
But don't forget also, they don't really believe in time. Remember the whole watch thing?
That's true. They don't
you let a little
time.
Device tell you what to do?
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, they also had no reason to. Like, society isn't big enough to justify that.
I don't think either one of those comments really addresses my complaint.
Nope. Yeah. We're just avoiding it at all costs.
Yeah. It's just better not to think about it.
Just so we're clear.
Again, there are a few, you know, goofs in the movie.
I'm not saying that this is a huge
that things
problem.
Do not
I just,
quite, you know.
I wanted to challenge your ability to explain away the
And I said it's because
right,
when she's it's
there's
the
no way
thing.
To do it.
We'll call it the cosmic kiln.
Yeah. Yes.
The cosmic kiln
basically,
theory.
Basically, she's not so much growing up as hardening.
Okay.
And then once she reaches sort of her hardened
glazed
that might not be
state.
The word I want to use. level, she stays the same.
Okay.
Like a vase.
I totally do not understand that argument, but I'm
You never understand any of my arguments, which I believe is the
this
point
This one seems
of,
particularly tenuous.
It probably is.
I like falling into the celestial brain juice for Drax better.
That's a good one.
That was a much better explanation than the cosmic kiln.
Well, because that actually happened in a movie as opposed to nothing. Yeah, because one of the things that kind of bothers me about, you know... She breaks into the tower room. She gets the sword. She gets the costume.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, that's not where they keep the lasso. And we never see her leave with the lasso, and then it just shows up when she's in
she
Britain.
I thought
she did grab the lasso in the room.
Sure
no, you don't see the really? Lasso at
wow.
all.
I would have said she grabbed the lasso, but
you would think so, but we see the lasso when they use it in the throne room.
Right.
You saw it twice, right?
To interrogate her.
You know better than me.
And so... But, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not like the stuff in the tower that's not meant to be used.
But
the lasso
also had
is
a boat
used.
Prepared, so maybe
so I'm
just
like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Like, there's a gap where,
right.
like, where did she get the lasso?
You're going to show us grabbing all these other essential
yeah,
elements.
Yeah, we never see her grab
I
the
do,
lasso.
I do, however, love the lasso.
Oh, I love
the
lasso.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, special effects and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, when you, it's much more of a weapon than it's ever been in the comics or the TV show.
It's so unique to Wonder Woman in terms of, like, the aesthetics
and it doesn't look stupid
being Wonder Woman.
Yeah, like, I how do you make that look like the lasso?
Well, and wasn't the creator of Wonder Woman, didn't he create the lie detector test?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
The one thing I didn't like about the lasso is the Steve Trevor bit in the lasso.
I thought that was funny.
Oh, God, that was lame.
Come on.
Oh,
that was
it's so
blah.
Warm. I just...
Blah.
Yeah,
but you didn't like Steve Trevor.
So do you have any fair or foul? That
I
you
do have some fair or foul.
Because we've got like 5 minutes probably.
Okay. So what do I want to do?
Well, we've got to get done in an hour, right?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh. All right. So I'll do one because this sort of brings us back to the topic of DC versus Marvel.
Oh, boy.
So this is coming from Bleeding Cool.
Yes.
And basically talking about diversity, particularly in terms of gender for Marvel versus DC.
Yeah. Not race, but gender.
So by the time Captain Marvel... Marvel's made 15 movies so far without a woman as the leader or the director.
Yep.
By the time Captain Marvel comes out, the first Marvel Studios solo film starring a female hero, Marvel have made 5 more male-fronted films. So basically there's going to be, 20 Marvel movies before we get one with a woman.
It seems bad.
For rival DC, Wonder Woman is the 4th film in their shared superhero universe, and it may be a game changer. fair or foul?
Well, it's fair in terms of the numbers. I mean,
I'm not sure it is fair in terms of the numbers.
It's taken DC or taken Marvel, excuse me, a long time.
It has
to get there.
But I'd argue they're being way too generous to DC because
I was going to go further with DC, and that is to say, I mean, DC has Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Who is one of the three.
Yeah.
Right? Sort of touchstones of the universe. Like, I'm not sure Marvel, where they would have gone.
One of the arguments I read was that the problem with Marvel is their best female characters are in the X universe, which Marvel Studios does not have.
Yeah.
But the other thing I will point out about the comparison is that it ignores the Dark Knight trilogy.
Right.
Right.
It ignores Green Lantern. It ignores Watchmen.
I was going to go there next.
And ignores, it ignores Jonah Hex. All of these movies that were made before, it's way too generous.
Jonah Hex.
If you kind of think about the first of the Dark Knight trilogy is in 2005.
Yep.
Iron Man is in 2008. So basically, if we're thinking kind of the modern superhero universe, you've got to count the Dark Knight films, Superman Returns, Watchmen, Jonah Hex, and Green Lantern DC as well.
We shouldn't let those off the hook, right? Those are all DC-made films.
Yeah, they're all DC. And you could even go back as far. We also had the Christopher Reeve Superman.
And that's what
we
say is
Batman the Tim Burton era.
Think about sort of the golden age of superhero film, right? Which is really a post-9/11 phenomenon.
It's basically 2005 forward is where I would say.
Right, yeah. Like, so not counting the Spider-Man that came a little bit earlier, but really sort of it's Iron Man to me, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
I would
go back one because Batman Begins is 2005.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, then.
Nolan.
What kind of gets it rolling, and then you get Iron Man after that, and it fires
and so,
up.
To me, you start there and you move forward.
Yeah.
Right. And so DC's still getting to a female-led film
in about half the number of films.
A little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Okay. But in terms of, if we're not going to count films, we're going to count years.
Right.
It's not going to be that substantial a difference.
No.
No.
Right? Captain Marvel comes when?
2019.
Okay, so it's going to be
2 years.
2 years later.
Right, right.
So there's really not as big a gap as Bleeding Cool would kind of suggest.
Right.
Well, I want to be an apologist for Marvel, which should have done. Like,
they should have
sitting
done
on Black Widow, right?
Yeah.
Who was such a breakout star.
Yeah,
and
I think
that into it. It's mind-boggling.
That's the critique I would make, is because of the way they've handled Black Widow, they've created her in a way that she could totally do a standalone movie Wonder Woman did, and they just haven't pulled the trigger on that.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's their...
To me, it's the great mystery of Marvel filmmaking.
But I agree.
Of
I think
all the
in
female
terms
characters,
of,
She's right there.
Yeah. But could you also argue that if you look at Marvel overall and in the shared cinematic universe, they at least have strong female characters? Like, not a female character-led film, directed by a female, but Black Widow is at least somewhat developed. And that if
she
you
is.
Pull in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they are doing more with female characters.
There
DC
are,
has
well,
ignored
that's
them
like, if you,
all and, together,
well,
basically.
If you, and then if you broaden it to television and you consider the women on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, Daisy,
Agent May,
Simmons.
Yeah, right.
Are all actually well-developed, powerful, empowered women. And then you go to Gotham.
Right.
And I'd argue not so much.
Still very empowered.
To be fair, is anyone on Gotham well-developed and or empowered?
Well, okay, but we can only talk about what they're creating, right?
Yeah.
I would argue Pantsless is not an empowered character,
Iris?
Even though she's climbing to the top. I don't find Iris an empowered character.
Killer Frost. She's literally empowered. She has ice powers. Lord.
It's true.
But that's not part of the shared universe. They're literally ignoring what they've done.
That's true,
there.
Yeah. No, that, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a part of that shared universe.
Yeah. No, I think if you look at female inclusion in Marvel, you've also got Maria Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You've got Scarlet Witch at this point.
Right.
They've managed with the way they've done Black Widow to elevate her to the point where we can critique them for not moving her into a solo film.
Right.
That's the only one that they've got right now because a lot of their other strongest female characters, they don't have the rights to.
So the question is, how much of it is sexism and how much of it is sort of the material that they've inherited?
Yeah.
But I guess once you make Guardians into a movie, you can't really argue against not making any female character into a movie.
Well, I did like, Michelle Wolfe on The Daily Show talking about Wonder Woman and you know, that it's this great success for a female director and it's this game changer. I can't remember, I won't quote it exactly, but she basically said, she's like, there will be equality for women directors when a female director can make a crappy superhero movie
and
then make another one.
Right.
Yes.
Because we've had, she like went through, she's like, we've had, you know, so many crappy superhero movies made by men.
Yeah.
But if Wonder Woman was a disaster, Patty Jenkins would never have gotten to direct, and no woman would get to direct for like another 15 years.
Right? Even if it was a success, if you look at female directors, there have been female directors who've put films out, and not that Twilight's a great series, but the woman who directed the original Twilight, that movie killed in the box office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was released for the second and third films, which suffered for it.
Well, apparently Jenkins has not signed up for the Wonder Woman sequel yet. Yeah.
I read something about a lot of money.
There was an article about that said, how is she? Now, it's a Bleeding Cool article, so I'm not sure how much we'd trust it, but that she's not signed up for it. I'm like,
The point is, we should celebrate Wonder Woman as an important step forward, but all these articles that you read online about how it's changed the game is probably over-optimistic about
it probably
what's
shows,
really
I would say
change.
What Wonder Woman shows is that the game. And not that we didn't know this, but it shows that the game needs to change.
Yeah, well, and the game's been rigged.
Put. So DC deserves some credit for, you know, having a woman direct it, having it a film about a woman. But I don't think it lets DC off the hook for
it's
the problems
too early to
it's
tell.
Had with gender. Yeah. And it reminds us that Marvel, for all that we celebrate it, really has a blind
spot. And I do have a question, like a final question.
Yeah.
Are you afraid for Justice League, given that it's pretty much done?
Yes.
Terrified.
Like, it's done, though. Apparently, they've started massive reshoots.
And I'm wondering, is that
based on for Suicide Squad, right?
That's my point.
Well, but the issue is that the other thing is because Zack Snyder had a family tragedy.
Right. Yeah,
they've brought Joss Whedon in to do it. We'll see if that...
I don't know how
much he's going to be able to change at this point. Right. Like, the movie's the movie.
And some that's the problem. Like, reshoots are just reshoots. You know, it's not like you're redoing the whole thing. I am worried. Until DC... stacks up a couple. Marvel has bought goodwill with me.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I went to a Marvel film and I just said no.
No, the problem with DC
since
is...
you said Martha?
The problem is that Wonder Woman has created all kinds of goodwill.
Right.
The problem is it can't be realized until after Justice League.
That's
the problem.
The problem is Justice League needs to realize it.
It does, I don't know that it can because it's already in the can.
Like,
so,
I am
trepidatious about Justice League and whether or not it's going to be a step backwards from Wonder Woman.
I think rewatching the trailer after seeing Wonder Woman, I'm like, I don't want to see this now.
To be honest with you, the Justice League trailers have not spoken to me.
No, they haven't
so far because
they look like everything else.
Like everything else that they crank out,
they're dark,
gritty,
gloomy.
They're so serious that they're just like, ugh. Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
But if I had to put money on what our conversation about Justice League will be.
Not good.
It's not going to be that it was building on Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I agree.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So that seems like a place to end.
A fine place to end, I think. So thanks for joining us as we talked about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Do you have a pun to end with?
I think it was wonderful.
Oh my God. Why did you do that?
Because it felt like it's a bad ending, isn't it?
It's a fantastic ending.